We're in for a treat this morning. Like I say, we spare no expense in these classes all the way from four blocks away. We imported Eddie Medrano and his lovely wife, right? All right, we're going to open up this morning. Eddie, who would you like to open?
Let's have Sherry.
Who?
Sherry.
All right. Sherry.
Hallelujah, Father God. I just thank you for today, Lord, and I thank you
yes,
for
Lord.
The word that you've prepared. Lord God, I pray that we take it in, Lord God, and that we apply it to our life, Lord God. Lord, I just ask that you bless the hands that prepared this food and bless it to nourish our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. I have the luxury of being up here for 2 weeks in a row. Thanks, Bob. And I prayed, and Bob said it was, open teaching, whatever the Lord put on your heart. Well, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is the armor of God. Who knows where it talks about the armor of God? Very good. Ephesians 6:10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we see there in that passage that there's actually six pieces to the armor of God. There's the belt of truth, the breastplate, the shoes fitted with the gospel, your shield, your helmet, and your sword.
We see that there's six pieces to the armor, and we're required to have them all, otherwise we're not at 100%. In describing the armor of God, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of a Roman soldier. Paul, being a Roman citizen himself, was well aware of their uniform and the uses and uses this to describe the Christian spiritual armor. It is interesting that he starts with the belt. If you or I were to describe a man's outfit or uniform or whatever, probably one of the last things we would look at is his belt, right? We would probably look at his shirt, his tie, his jacket, his pants, his shoes maybe even, but not the belt. Well, I'm going to use Officer Shank here. Yes. Yes, he does. Very good, Roger. I talked to Steve and asked him if he was going to be in uniform. He said he was. And I just want to show here in front of you guys the importance of the belt that he has on and the many qualities it has, just visually. Can you come up here, Steve? Okay, so just picture him as a soldier, because really he is a soldier, right? In true life, right, brother? So he has this belt on. Now, number one, what does the belt do right off the bat? Thank you. It holds up his pants. Steve ain't that fat, so, I'd hate for them trousers to come down and see them, them quacky duck boxer shorts that he's got on. But so we see that the belt, number one, holds up his trousers, so it keeps his uniform in place. It also what? Keeps his shirt tucked in, correct? And then if we look at the belt, he, in his profession, this is all his armor. He has his communication. He has his thing here for the mace, which is a weapon. What is this, brother, a knife? He has his handcuffs back here. And, of course, he has what we would think is our sword, is his gun. So, see, we see he even has extra ammo. But, see, you can see the importance of that belt You know, now, on a police officer, of course we're going to stare at the belt because, first of all, what are we looking for normally? The gun, right? But besides that, he needs that belt to carry all those other things that he needs to complete his outfit, his weaponry, and everything else. So, thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
Eddie? In Isaiah chapter 11, 5, it says, righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And I think that's what, when people see Steve and they see that righteousness because that's what he stands for, is what's right, and that's what he defends, is that righteousness. And that's why it's so important to see that.
Amen.
Because that's what he stands for. Because anytime anybody sees a police officer, even when you're doing well, you're driving, you see one, you think, oh, am I driving well? Am I doing the right thing here? It's the first thing that comes to your mind is, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what that visible thing is. Even though you see all those weapons, it stands for something. It goes beyond that.
Yeah, I remember I heard that in a survey one time. What people's first reaction is when they see a police officer when they're driving, what do you think it is? Yeah, they put your foot on the brake. Like, am I speeding? So see, there you go, Kenny. It's bringing forth that righteousness right away because the law says a certain speed. So when you see the police officer, it's like, am I going too fast? Go ahead, Pastor Don.
I was just going to ask Steve how he feels if he doesn't have that belt on and he's out. Hello, Steve. Would you like to address that, Steve?
How do I feel when I do that?
Yeah, like if you were to happen to leave some of your equipment behind and you went out on the street. Say you went out on the street and you didn't have that gun in your holster and somebody noticed it.
You'd feel very embarrassed. You'd feel alone. You'd feel vulnerable to anything. And it's not like that has not happened. I think Pastor Don's trying to communicate. There was actually a time where it's our job to, when we take someone to jail, we're supposed to, or to the prison yard, we take our guns off because there's no guns inside the prison. And a lot of times we'll put them under our seat before we go in because the vehicle stays in the garage. And we come back out, and there's been times where I've jumped back in the car, and I start doing my report, and then I step back out on the street, and you'll have someone say, hey, man, where's your gun? And you're like, oh, hold on one second.
Yeah.
So
you feel exposed. Very, very, very acceptable to any.
Yeah. Actually, funny you should say that. My son, Nick, same thing happened to him. I don't know how they missed it in roll call. Aren't they supposed to check to make sure you guys got everything? Well, he actually was out on a call. You know, you get so familiar with everything that he actually was on a call where there was guns involved. And thank God, you know, he had, you know, there was like three or four squad cars that went to the site. And then he's like, he didn't have his gun, man. And like Pastor Don and Steve said, you feel vulnerable. It's like almost that gun becomes everything to you. It's your shield. It's your weapon. It's everything. You know, it's almost like your lifeline. You know, especially when you're not in you know, serving the Lord. That's all you got. You know, but yeah. So it's very important to keep every piece of armor on. We can't afford to leave anything open, because I've always preached that. When the attacks of the enemy come, wherever you're the strongest, he's not going to go there. He's going to go where the weak part is, you know? Yes.
I just wanted to say, I remember when I first started serving Christ, or actually just like till recently, and I was told, you know, or told, and you would preach on it, or the pastors would preach on it, or taught on it, and I would do this, but I never noticed a difference. And I honestly believe, you know, that's probably with growth or whatever, how we grow with maturity. But it's like been recently where I realized that I haven't put the armor on when I notice during the day things are happening. And I'm starting to fall, like whether it's in your mind or whatever the attack is. But I'm starting to notice that if I didn't do that in the morning, how much more of a difference it makes when you do it.
Yes. And believe me, I can attest to that. It happened this morning.
Steve, do you carry a backup piece?
I think of it this way. If I'm in a situation where I have to go to a backup piece and I probably shouldn't be in that situation, so I really just think about it as in, Lord, let me not ever have to use anything but what I have, what you've supplied for me already. And so some guys, you know, they carry like 3 or 4 guns on them, like Tackleberry from Police Academy. They do. There's a lieutenant that told me, Officer Shank, nice. Come here, let me tell you something. You need a gun in every room, and let me tell you why. And he went into this dictation, if you will, about how, listen, what happens if you're in the shower and all of a sudden you hear somebody in your house? He goes, you're naked. You don't have no route to retreat to. He goes, but you know what? I do, because I keep one duct taped underneath the tank in my bathroom toilet. And I always have something to go to.
Sounds like Jerry.
You notice Jerry ain't laughing. He's like, they caught everybody in there. But,
The reason I ask that is, you said that was his sword. What's the sword?
The word of God.
The word of God. What's the backup for that? More word of God.
That was good, Steve. So why did the Holy Spirit lead Paul to describe the belt first? It was because the belt kept the rest of the armor in place. He might be wearing all his great weaponry, but if his belt was not in place, everything would fall apart. So the belt was the most vital part of all the weaponry the Roman soldier wore. And we explained that with Steve's outfit, you know. Well, even in men, you know. I mean, look at Bob. We know that shirt probably goes down to his knees. So if he didn't have that belt in, it would all come out. Oh, where's Ray? Onesie?
Hey, Eddie. They actually have done studies that the first piece of clothing that somebody that doesn't know you that they look at is your belt.
Really?
Yes. So if you go in for a job interview, there's two things they look at. Number one is your belt, and number two is your shoes. Mm. Yeah, which is interesting, you know, because your belt, you know, once again, it your clothing sends a message, you know. And so, you know, in the spiritual realm there, somebody, just like Steve was talking about, somebody can tell if you're disarmed, if you don't have maybe the most important thing, that belt that is going to hold everything together.
Yes.
And that's the word of God, too. So you can play the part of a Christian. You can look like a Christian. You can walk like a Christian. But you know God's word. Is that fastened about your waist, holding everything together? Mm. You know, we talk about, you know, yeah, they can talk the talk, but can they walk the walk? But having the word of God and knowing the word of God in all the different situations we encounter is the vital thing. So, but that, you know, that's interesting, because we would think in our own mind, but they've actually done studies that the belt and then the shoes are the two most important things.
That was my next one. Well, let me tell you, Pastor, if it did come to shoes, Alma, you got any job imaginable. That woman's got like 1,000 pair of shoes. So we were talking about the belt being vital, for example, and Pastor Don kind of went over this. If he had no belt, he had no place to hang his sword. If he had no belt, there was nothing to keep his breastplate from flapping in the wind. A soldier's armor would have literally fallen apart. And so that, like Pastor Don was saying, you know, it is vital. The belt is very vital. You know, we see it on Steve, and we see it in our lives, because the belt is actually the word of God. It's the truth. Okay? Paul is making a point here. He's saying that the piece of armor that is in the middle of the man is the most important weapon to the man. Likewise, when we ignore the word of God and cease to apply it to our lives on a daily basis, we have willfully chosen to let our entire spiritual life come apart at the seams. And that was the part I was trying to get to. As vital as that belt is to hold everything together, in the spiritual, that's the word of God, and that holds everything together. And so if we go out without the belt, like Pastor Don was saying, we can play the game for a little while. We can come to church, say hi to everybody, how's it going, let me pray for you. But if you ain't got the Word of God in the center of your life, it's all for naught. Because let me get this point.
The truth, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is the truth. But the Word of God is truth. And so as Christians, if we don't have the Word of God within us, in the center of our life, then what good are we? You know?
It's a good point you made, too, about our life coming apart without that belt.
Mm-hmm.
When we think of that belt, if you had a... You had your little statue with you. It's not like a belt I'm wearing. It's a big, wide leather piece like this. It was also to stop you from being disemboweled. Was one of the great moves they use. I know it's kind of gory. Close your ears, Betty. If you chop down like this, you have no control of coming back. They were taught to sweep across the belly like this in a fight. So that was one reason that they wore that. It was protection as well.
Yes, yes. And I didn't put the picture up, but that little statue I got that shows the whole armor of God as the belts here, there was also leather straps that went down to protect the man's loins because that was vital too. Okay, there's more, but I got to move on. I have to read 25 after. All right, the second piece of armor Paul mentions is the breastplate of righteousness. Now this I like. I wish Steve was doing this because I love Steve's stories, because his face gets into it, his whole body gets into the story. But I know Steve, but I'll try. So it says, facing the hordes of Satan, you brace yourself and pray. The host of your enemies share a collective malicious grin, waiting for the command to do their worst. The battle cry sounds. They begin their charge. You tighten your grip on your sword and raise your shield. Weapons begin swinging with unrivaled fury. You do your best to parry the onslaught, but there are too many weapons to block. How many times do we feel that sometimes, you know? I know Raquel's not here, but she was just sharing that she got a promotion at her job. And she said the onslaught of all the, you know, the fear and all these new responsibilities. I'm going to be in a new place, and then I got to go to two buildings now instead of staying here. And we were talking about being in that comfort zone. And when we get into the comfort zone, if we stay there too long, what happens? We become complacent and passive. Right. And you know, I know you guys aren't going to like this, especially back there on that bench back there. But they were talking about the Buckeyes yesterday. Yeah, the Ohio State Buckeyes. And one thing they said about Urban Meyer is, on offense, he's always attack, attack, attack. I mean, they were up by a phenomenal margin, and you would think most guys would just go there, run the ball three times, and then kick punt, you know. No, not him. He was still running. He was throwing when he had to throw, and he put another touchdown on the board. You know, but that wasn't, when you think like that wasn't just to rub it in their face, because he had the second string out there. And see, a lot of times you put the second string out there so they can get used to being in a real game, you know. Not that it might not mean something at that point because the game is already out of reach, but it still puts them in the game, you know what I mean? And so a lot of times, because we know we're called to be warriors, we got to be in the game. What's the sense of having all this armor if we're not going to use it, if we're not going to be tested, you know? And see, the breastplate is very, very, very important as well. I mean, they all are, but I'm just trying to point out the specific item. The breastplate, what did that protect? Oh, I don't want you to get undressed, brother, but I noticed he has a breastplate. His breastplate. Is that vital? How vital is it? What are the vitals?
Your heart, your intestines, everything.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I was getting. It protects all the major organs. Okay? Now, how do we know? Now, we know that as Christians, because we are human, but we're saved by grace, we're God's children, but we're still human, okay? So what can get us off track in this area right here? The heart. Thank you. The heart. To me, that's the most important thing, because If somebody says something to me and I take it the wrong way, what happens? I'm hurt. And so right away, that takes me out of the game, right? Because it's either woe is me, or I can't believe they said that, and I'm going to the pastors, and if they try and pass it off like it's nothing big, right? Then what happens? Oh, well, he calls himself a pastor. I ain't going to this church. I'm out of here. Alma, quit trying to score brownie points. Quit trying to score brownie points, Alma. I love everything Pastor Don tells me. Right. Alma's breastplate is twice as thick. Yeah. Oh! I'm going to leave that one alone, brother. I'm going to leave that one alone. Okay, so it says, eventually you watch as one of your opponent's swords begins making a clean arc that continues right past your shield and toward your chest. It's going to happen. You know, we're not perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. We can go into a lot of battles and come out victorious, but there's going to be a time, sometime in our life, where we're going to get wounded. It's going to happen. You know? But God puts us in these situations. Why? So we can grow from it. So we can learn from it. You know, I think of, like, Steve went through the academy. I remember my son went through the academy. Boy, that kid, I still don't understand why he volunteered to get tasered. Did I tell you that story? When his, I don't know, did you guys get tasered? No. Okay. So when Nick went through the academy, he was getting towards the end. He was like 2 weeks before graduation. And they brought in the guy, you know, because they had the tasers. And again, they had to be tasered. Why? Thank you. So they know, so you know what that person's feeling when you're tasing them. You know, you know the extremes, or it ain't about, you know, whatever. So they said, they told the group, because there was like 30 of them. And there was women, too. And they said, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody's getting tasered. But I'm just looking for a couple volunteers. So you know Nick. Nick's like, shoot, get me up there. Let's get this over with. So he volunteers to go up there. And I tell you, the only thing that boy said was, Dad, he said, the only thing I remember is these two sharp pricks in my back. And then all of a sudden everything went white and I fell to the mat. And he said, the last thing I remember hearing is this girl was standing over him going, oh, look at the veins popping out of his head. He said that's all he remembered. He was flopping on the mat. So here's the thing. He comes home. Remember, Donnie, he had the Vaseline on there and the little gauze and stuff. And he still has those marks today on his back because they're like little prongs. They stick right in you. And he came home and he was like, well, I'm glad I got my turnover. Now I get to sit there and watch the other, because there was two of them. I get to watch the other two 28 clowns go through this. Well, that week, they got laid off. So nobody else had to do it. Just him and the other clown that volunteered. He was not a happy camper, man. But I just had to tell that story. Sometimes be careful with the battles we get into. Yeah, you never volunteer. Go ahead.
I was just thinking how that speaks to something else, that sometimes we see, why do I got to go through this? Mm. You know, it's like, Nick, you know, why was I, you know, he's sitting there the next day saying, man, all right, I'm ready for someone else to go through what I had to go through. And sometimes we look to other people. It's almost like misery loves company. You look towards other people and say, well, I need to see somebody go through all the garbage and crap that I'm going through. And the pain that I'm going through, because it'll help me feel better. Because that's the way we kind of, you know, as human beings, we try to, that's, well, I can relate. Okay, it's good because I see they don't got it all together. And really, you're not going to your source. You're looking for other things mm-hmm. to make you feel comfortable. So I thought about that when you said
that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, it says, you brace yourself, preparing for the worst and expecting your quick demise, watching the weapon move closer as time slows to a maddening crawl, waiting, waiting, then all of a sudden, clang, it hits your breastplate. Shaking your head in disbelief, you look down to find the breastplate of righteousness stop the deadly blow in its tracks. Okay, and that's the purpose of that armor, you know, because that's one of the areas that Satan attacks readily is our heart, you know, because it controls a lot, you know. And I don't want to get out of turn here, but the mind too, because that's where it first originates, in the mind. That's why the helmet is so important too. So, we know that the breastplate serves as protection to the vital organs. It says, why is righteousness associated with protective armor like a breastplate? Well, in Proverbs 11:4, it says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers us from death. Remember, it's called the breastplate of righteousness. Okay? So what is righteousness? Well, in Psalms 119:172, it says, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. To be righteous is to do what is right in God's eyes. God's commandments are righteousness. In contrast, lawlessness is sin, and sin is the opposite of righteousness. So to be righteous is to obey God's laws of love. Basically, it's to obey the word of God and to move in it. You know, like Pastor said, what good is it to read the word and not act in it? You know, how are they going to know? You know, I mean, Jesus said you'll know by the fruit of the Spirit. We should be different from the people of the world, right? I mean, you always see those movies like New York, you know, how there's thousands of people just walking across the street, you know, and everybody's just about their own business, not caring about anything in the world. And sometimes we get caught up in that, you know. Like, I know myself, like at my job, I've been working on my buddy Mark, you know, and he's been staying in contact with me, and he asks me questions about the Bible. But just in us going through that, my team leader, well, she's real worldly, but she, see, here's the thing. They're going to go about what they want to do, right? They're in the world, right? I don't preach to them, right? But they can see by the way I perform my job, the attitude I have at work, that's what is going to win them over, right? Because all of a sudden, I had a ride with her in a flatbed to go get my high low because it had to be repaired. And she started talking. Someone got her mad. And then she goes, oops, I'm sorry. I better not talk like that in front of you. I didn't even say nothing. But see, that's God. That's the Spirit convicting her. You know what I'm saying? Because she used to go to church. So it's not like she's not knowledgeable of the Word of God. But see, sometimes just by our actions, you know, or by the way we do things, by the way we work, by the things we say, by the way we act, that can win people over to Christ. Not so much the preaching that we're going to do. Of course, Steve, you know, we know you're the preacher, brother. But Steve's always in confrontation. You know what I mean? So he diffuses the situation, then seeks the presence of God to make good of every situation. Right? So, we got to be able to protect our vital organs. Otherwise, we're going to be a wounded soldier. And a wounded soldier is not as effective as a soldier that's ready to go. You know? Okay, I got to close this out. All right, the third piece of armor mentions the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shoes, like the belt, may initially seem not so important in a discussion about spiritual armor. They're great to have, right, Alma? Sure, but aren't they more of a convenience than a necessity? Are they really that important? Well, what purpose did the shoes serve? Imagine a fully armed soldier, and I was going to use Steve again, but we know that he does have shoes on. But can you imagine Steve going to work today? He's working the Tigers and the Lions game, so there's going to be what? Close to 100, over 100,000 people downtown. And here he is, like Kenny was saying, he's exemplifying righteousness because he represents the law. And they see Steve get out of his car, and all of a sudden he's standing there, and he's barefooted. They're going to say, what are they going to say right away? This guy's a clown. Hey, dude, do you know you forgot your shoes? You see what I'm saying? Their mind gets taken off the righteousness, and just because he doesn't have his shoes on, they don't even gonna, you know, they're gonna take him serious. Like, why is this guy even down here? Has he went and had an eval? What the heck? He ain't got no shoes? You know what I'm saying? Or like Pastor Don was saying, he said he just saw a study where they do look at the belt and the shoes. So, Sammy, when you went for that interview for Chrysler, can you imagine? I'm sure you look pretty decent. You walk in there and you ain't got no shoes on? No, but we know that we've got to have shoes. And in the Roman times, it actually said that their shoes, they used to put nails or spikes on them. So that, because, you know, in the Roman times, you see a lot of them wars where they're marching like this. And, you know, the enemy would always come crashing into the line, right? Not like today where we can kill somebody from a mile away. But there it was like hand to hand. So when they would be there on the ground, they would stand with their shields. They had to have something, you know, because you could slip on the dirt. You know, if they were just in sandals, they would have slipped back. But they would put nails or spikes in there so they could grip. You know, remember the football game? This is another story. I'm way off. What the heck? We were, Steve used to work out at Oakwood Gym, right? And every Thanksgiving, rain, snow, or shine, we would play football. All of us would play tackle football like a bunch of idiots. No gear, no nothing, just play tackle football. So Steve calls me. He goes, "Uncle Eddie, I met this guy at the gym, man. He said he's got some guys that want to play football. I thought we could get together and play a game of football." I'm like, "Oh, cool. Cool, set it up, you know." So he sets it up. He comes and tells me like a week later, "Okay, we're going to play next week, man." I said, "All right, well, tell him no cleats." You know, because number one, half of us didn't have cleats. Number two, I'm thinking these guys are small, skinny, fast. You know, when you got cleats on, man, you can cut on a dime. Big guy like me, we can't move that fast. So I told Steve, make sure they know there's no cleats. So he's like, all right, I'll tell them. So Steve told them, right? Wouldn't you know they show up? They're all wearing cleats. I'm like, dude, I told you no cleats, man. Oh, man, I told them, man, but they brought them anyway. You know, and this and that. And Nick was there, and Nick's like, "Dad, don't worry. We're going to run home and get our cleats." Well, we wound up beating them. But the fact of the matter is, see, they wanted the cleats because they knew, you know, with that speed, you can cut on a dime. But without that sure-footedness, when they go to make a cut, more than likely, they'd probably fall, you know? And so, see, you can see that the spikes help you in battle to make a quick move, you know what I mean? But Eddie, here it's talking about...
Eddie.
Yes.
During World War II, more American soldiers...
You sure it wasn't World War I?
No, two. And were put out of commission because of their feet.
Yes.
In the cold weather in Germany, the first thing that frostbites are your toes. You can move your fingers and keep that, but you can't do that with your toes. In the jungles, in South Pacific, Vietnam, the first thing was jungle rot. If your feet sweat, if they get wet, the skin peels off.
Yeah.
If you can't walk, you can't fight.
Yeah, I remember seeing a movie about Vietnam, and they are always saying, you know, keep your feet dry, keep your feet dry.
He's always prepared. Yeah, I just got back from Hawaii one day. We're sitting there, and I told Laura, I said, "I'm going to go down swim in the ocean." So we weren't on the beach. We were like in a little cement area by the pool. So like a dummy, I left my sandals, you know, by the little benches we were on. And I walked about 10 feet out onto that hot burning sand. And I'm like you, Eddie. Man, I was just like, you ever see those little lizards that run on top of the sand? You know, that's what I look like, trying to get to that water. And then I got in the water, and it's like steam coming off my feet. I'm like, oh, does that feel good? And then I'm thinking, how am I going to get back up there?
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking. A kid's got a surfboard. I'm thinking, all right, I can break it in half and, you know, put half step on it. You know, but you realize once you start walking, you know, and how important it is to have those feet protected no matter what circumstance.
Yep.
I think of my mom when I think of feet, because she used to tell us we didn't have a lot of money, but when it came to our feet, they would spend a lot of money on our shoes, because she said, you need your feet your whole life. You need your feet to carry you. And I think of the Lord, and if we don't have our feet, we can't do the things he's called us to do.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Amen. I'm gonna close with that because I didn't even get halfway done here. It just says here, but the problem goes beyond just looking at a shoeless soldier could run into real trouble in the heat of battle. Unless he is fighting on AstroTurf, he is going to encounter some debris. It may be nothing more than twigs and pebbles, but to a bare foot, that can cause serious pain. And I'm thinking of Pastor Don just walking across the smooth sand, but because it was hot, brother, it was more than smooth sand.
You ever stub your toe? Your whole body hurts.
No, the worst is in the night when you're walking, you're half asleep, boom, you kick that chair. Oh, Lord have mercy. Woo. Okay, what is the gospel of peace? In the Greek, the word simply means good news. And that's what we're called for. And right away, the Lord just impressed upon my heart as the people that went to Mexico. You know, you were going there for what? To give the good news to the people who are less fortunate. I think of Steve. Even though he's standing for righteousness, I hate to say this, but there's a lot of bums and homeless people. You know, and of course he has to do his job like today. They don't want all those people around because why? Because people are coming to spend their money. They want to feel safe. They want to see righteousness, someone that's going to uphold the law and protect them. But in the meantime, Steve is probably trying to give those homeless and bums hope. You know what I'm saying? Because to them, it's hopeless. You know, they have no place to live. They're wondering what they're going to eat, you know. And so Steve, with his shoes on, he brings forth that gospel to those that are hopeless, that are lost, that are less fortunate. And that's what our job is. And that's the importance of, again, like Pastor Don said, knowing the Word of God. Because we got to bring forth something. And it's got to be something that's going to change their life or give them a new outlook on life. If we just say, here you go, buddy, here's a dollar. Good luck. Really? How far is that dollar going to take them? But what's more important than that dollar is if we reach them and give them hope for something eternal. Amen? We can't get stuck in the moment, but we got to look to the future. Amen? I got to end. I got to get on duty. So let's go ahead and close. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning, Lord. Father, my prayer is that we would all put on our spiritual armor, Lord God, that, Father, you would protect us with it. Father, that you would allow us to go into the enemy's camp, Lord God, and take back what is rightfully yours, Lord God. And Father, that you would test us, Lord God, that you would strengthen our armor, Lord, each and every day. And Father God, that we would be able to just glorify you in everything we do and say. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Amen.